Who are you? Who are you? It's a question that we don't often consider explicitly. Who am I? But it's an important one that we do need to consider from time to time. There's this principle, a philosophical principle, that action follows being. What something is determines how it acts. A tree acts like a tree. A dog acts like a dog. For us humans, it's a bit more complicated. Because yes, we act like humans, but it's not just who we are as humans, but who we think we are that determines how we act. How we answer the question, who are you, will determine how you go about your daily life. We first learn this, who we are, from our parents. They named us. They nurtured us. They formed us as we grew up. And they let us know that we are loved. They may not have been perfect. Nobody is. But even the love of a parent, the greatest love that we can consider, really, looking around in our human life, even this is still imperfect. And that's why Jesus says that we have to love him more than anyone around us. If we don't love him first and foremost, then we can't love others to the level that we're called to, that we can if we keep Christ at the center. But even keeping Christ at the center, we can still only love imperfectly. And thus, this identity of ours, who we are, knowing that we are loved, it's imperfect, and it can get lost over time. With the complexities of life in a fallen world, we get hurt by others, or we end up hurting ourselves. And we don't like feeling hurt, and so we act out of our woundedness to protect ourselves. We build up walls to protect ourselves. A good example of this is one of Johnny Cash's songs, A Boy Named Sue. Being Johnny Cash and being that we are in a church, I will not actually quote the song, but if you don't remember it or have never heard it, this is roughly the story. There's a man whose dad named him Sue and then walked out on him, and this guy had to deal with the shame of living with a girl's name, and it made him angry. And it made him violent. And he spent his whole life searching for his father to get his revenge. This man, he was wounded by his name. He was wounded by his desire with his father, thinking that his father despised him. But when the son found the father, something happens. Something happens. His father explained to him why he gave him that name. That he wanted him to grow strong and that he wouldn't be around to help him grow up. And that it was actually an act of love. And with that, everything changed. He went from hating his father to loving his father. Everything changed because his identity changed. Who he thought he was, who he knew he was, changed. In baptism, our identities change. Our identities change. Everyone is made in God's image and likeness. And because of that, every single person has an infinite worth and dignity. But in baptism, that's when we become beloved sons and daughters of God. We acknowledge this in our collect today, the opening prayer, when we prayed, O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light. This grace of adoption happens in our baptism, when we become part of the mystical body of Christ, who is the only begotten Son of the Father. But even though that objectively changes in us, we do become children of the Father. It can take us a long time to really understand what this actually means, to really grasp the fullness of it in our hearts and in our lives. And this is what St. Paul was speaking about in his letter to the Romans this morning when he said, Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death so that we too might live in newness of life? Are you unaware of the profound change that took place in you in your baptism? When people become aware of this change, everything changes in their life. In the psalm, we hear some characteristics of those who know deeply that they are adopted sons and daughters of the Father. They're joyful. They're strong. Confident of God's promises. They don't worry or fear because God is their shield. I have seen this grace take root in the life of a friend. He had a difficult relationship with his parents, and he was a bit manipulative, passive-aggressive, and a bit needy. Because of this relationship with his parents, he was not really certain that he was loved. But when he became aware of what it was that he truly was, what it really meant to be an adopted son of the Father, overnight he became a different person. His personality changed 180 degrees. Overnight. He was no longer scared. He was no longer wondering if he was loved, wondering what his worth was, doing everything to get some reassurance of his goodness. Overnight, he became confident and generous. He sought to help others instead of using them to meet his own needs. All of this because he became aware of what it is to be an adopted son of the Father. It can take a while to understand what this means of our baptism. It can be, frankly, a scary journey because it means that we have to let go. We have to let go of the lies that we tell ourselves. We have to let go of our defenses that we've put up so we don't get hurt. It means that we have to let go of our wounds and let go of our shame. We have to let go of how we've already been living our lives and try something new. And that can be scary. That can be terrifying. But we have to let go of all of that because that is not who we are. As Pope St. John Paul II said at the World Youth Day in Toronto, we are not the sum of our failures and our weaknesses. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of the Son. So I ask you again, who are you? Dear brothers and sisters, if the answer to that question is not a beloved son or daughter of God, then you still do not yet know who you really are. Who are you? To him who in his unfathomable love for us has adopted us as his sons and daughters, be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.